This news brought to you by Froom, Australia's number one mushroom products brand, now available at Harris Farm Market stores. Feeding 10 billion, NZ's first CELUG symposium says the science is here, but who's paying? Can cellular agriculture feed 10 billion people by 2050? That was the big question behind New Zealand's first in-person cellular agriculture symposium, held last week in Nelson and hosted by Plant and Food Research. Nearly 70 scientists, engineers, founders, investors, and regulators came together from across New Zealand, Australia, and beyond to chart the future of food and what's needed to get there. While the day showcased groundbreaking innovation and deep local expertise, a thread of frustration ran below the surface. The science, many agreed, is ready. But the scale-up support, MIA. Opening keynote speaker Professor David Kaplan from Tufts University challenged the very foundation of the cell ag movement, suggesting bioreactors might not be the future after all. Instead, he proposed a decentralized knitted meat concept, an alternative to the energy-intensive factory model dominating current thinking. His remarks set the tone, bold, reflective, and unafraid to question assumptions. Throughout the morning, presenters from Otago, Lincoln, Waikato, Kato, Massey and Canterbury universities took the stage with cutting-edge research. From seaweed-based compounds for skin regeneration to bioactive foods targeting the gut microbiome, the local scientific bench is clearly deep and deeply connected to global shifts. It wasn't just lab coats. Industry voices made it clear New Zealand has the brains, the raw materials and the logistics. But without a national strategy or capital investment, the country risks being left behind. Representatives from CELAG Australia and the Good Food Institute described their lobbying work and the behind-the-scenes efforts supporting VAU's FSANZ application. Joanne Tanner highlighted just how far CELAG Australia had gone to push approval across the line. On the regulatory front, Ben Sutherland, Food Standards Australia New Zealand, FISANZ, offered a sobering reality check. While recent approvals like VAU's cultivated quail product represent progress, the lack of harmonisation across Asia-Pacific markets is dragging the industry down. He called for greater cross-border collaboration, noting local approvals shouldn't have to restart from scratch in every jurisdiction. Harmonisation isn't optional, he said. It's essential if we want to accelerate access. Among the most pressing concerns, consumer engagement. A powerful panel featuring Denise Conroy, Maui Hudson, and Audrey Baker cut through the hype with one word, confusion. Consumers are intrigued, but overwhelmed. Many still don't understand what cultivated or precision fermented food is, let alone why they should care. Denise Conroy pointed out ethics and sustainability aren't enough and echoed, "We don't need to make something that tastes like meat. We need something better than meat." That message was the thread for other sessions. Trying to perfectly replicate existing products, like burgers or chicken nuggets, only encourages consumers to compare and criticise. What's needed is food that's new, aspirational, and exciting. This isn't about imitation, it's about reinvention. But for reinvention to happen, the system itself needs support. Several panelists, including speakers from Oppo Bio and Daisy Lab, raised the same issue. New Zealand has excellent early-stage research, but almost no infrastructure for pilot-scale production. Once you leave the benchtop, the next step is a black hole. The facilities don't exist, the funding isn't there, and startups can't bridge that gap alone. Investor Byron Van Vugt from Movac made it clear venture capital isn't a silver bullet. Startups need real partners, real policy, and real manufacturing pathways to move from idea to market. And as Munish Puri from the Ridet Institute noted, without investment in scale-up and collaboration, New Zealand risks becoming a scientific showroom for technologies commercialised elsewhere. It was left to James Ryle, an Australian-based insider and one of the most experienced figures in biomanufacturing, to wrap up the day with a sharp closing keynote. His call to action, get serious, get aligned, and get moving or get left behind. Ryle didn't sugarcoat it. ANZ has feedstock, talent, and tax incentives, but without a coordinated roadmap and infrastructure strategy, those advantages mean little. In short, the symposium was a real eye-opener. The potential is enormous, the science is strong, the community is energised. But without consumer buy-in, clear regulation, and public investment in the missing middle, cellular ag in New Zealand, risks becoming a story of what could have been. As one Future Food Aotearoa slide put it, we're at a tipping point. And tipping points by their nature don't last forever.